Today is Saturday, the 16th of September 2023, and we are gathered here for the 99th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Sister Rohini Manu joining us from representing Nisarwana Forest Monastery, joining us from, I believe, New Zealand. And we are not having Venerable Bhante today because he is busy with some other work. Therefore, we all would like to welcome Venerable Manu with great respect to today's session. And furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and through the Facebook live stream. Our agenda will go on, starting with in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. Today it is based on narcissism, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we present written and verbal questions or statements on mindfulness practice. So I would like to initiate the session proceedings with inviting Venerable Manu to conduct the in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Venerable Manu. Thank you.
Thank you, Namante. Today, I think we are going to do first walking, mindful walking. So, everyone gather here or listening to later, we would like to remind what is mindful walking is. So, mindful walking is while you are walking, be mindful how you are going to be mindful while you are walking. So you need to observe your steps or bodily movements. So it's watching or observing steps means how you feel the surface area where you walk is the best thing, but it depends on each and in every individual, because different people feels different bodily movements. So whatever the primary object, it can be the feelings of surface, the hardness, softness, or cool, hot, whatever the feelings, you can observe it. So that is the primary object for people who are observing surface, quality of the surface, or how you feel it. Sometimes maybe some people feel more than that surface quality, maybe how you bend your knees while you are walking, how you shift your weight from one left leg to the other. So whatever you feel, whatever you take as a primary object, keep it as a primary object. Whenever you distract from some maybe sounds or maybe thoughts or maybe something you saw, so whatever it is, whenever you distract from something, whenever you remember, whenever your mind remind you that you are in another place or another object, please bring back to your mind to walking posture. So keep your primary object as a primary object and try to keep that primary object all the time. But whenever it distracted from something else, whenever you realize it, bring back your mind back to the primary object. So remind him that thing. I will say that wherever you choose to do mindful walking, so stand corner or the one side of the path and close your eyes. And then you can observe your body. So you can bring your wandering mind to your body, that is standing posture. You can observe the standing posture. You can observe the standing feeling when you close your eyes, it will be easy. So you can use 1 minute or 2 minutes for that. Then you have collected mind. Then you can walk. You can start to walk. As a trick, maybe you can close your eyes while you are walking for a couple of steps. If you feel or if you find that it's difficult to keep in the primary object. Or maybe you can use going backward. That's also a good trick. So whatever you feel, this is best for me to keep my mind in a walking posture. Use it. And saying that, I would like to invite all of you to start mindful walking for a couple of minutes, I think. How long, Namantha? 15, 20 minutes?
We can go for 15 minutes or 20 even. Yes.
Okay. So keep that time frame in mind and we'll start that our walking meditation or mindful walking.
Venerable Manu, now I would like to invite with much respect to commence the talk on mindfulness based on the topic narcissism. Can you hear me, Manu?
Yes, yes, Namanta, thank you.
Okay, Manu, thank you.
Hello, everyone. So our topic today is narcissism. So it's actually narcissism is started in with a mythical story. So that narcissist, the boy who is so handsome, so beautiful boy, and he knew that beauty, his handsomeness, beautifulness. So he knew that, he understand that, and so what his narcissist became, he fascinated about his beauty, and he thought there is no any other person exist in this world like him. So he thought he is the one, he is the most beautiful one. So a lot of girls would like to marry him, but he refused all the time, thinking that they are not good enough, they are not beautiful enough. So the story begin with that, and then it goes with the echo, the like a goddess, that he refused to marry Echo also. The because of that, the punishment came to him. So that's how he died. That is the story behind it, actually. So the short and nice way, if I say. So after that, actually, narcissism is became recently. Actually, recently, narcissism became a kind of psychological disorder, because that narcissistic person has positive self-concept. He has self-esteem is like no other people. He usually narcissistic people who are reject or condemn, even otherwise pay no attention to others, because they have their inflated self-image. So the self-image is like, you know, they say, okay, I am the beautiful, most beautiful person, like narcissist. So in this world, during this time period, even within us, although we are not narcissist, we have that kind of ego. So for example, we can say, some people can say, okay, I am the best teacher, or I am the best medical surgeon. So it is not a lie, it is the truth, maybe it is the truth, but they have that self-image, a big self-esteem about themselves. The best scientist, best writer, I'm the richest person. So like that, I am so and so. I have that kind of narcissist feeling. As I am a superior. That make the ego, the conceit. So according to our write-up, poster write-up, so then if narcissist didn't knew about him, if he not admired his beauty that much, he will not die like that. So likewise, in our lives, if we can identify when you have thoughts, when you have feelings, are we going to admire our thoughts towards or develop our ego? That is the question we need to ask. Because that egoistic people, they have that superior feelings, and they have that ego actually slowly killing them. Because of that egoistic mind, So they think they deserve special treatments. They think they are the rules around him is not apply for them. So they seek attention. So lot of egoistic mind, egoistic thoughts, they live with that. Because of that, that egoistic mind have that kind of depression towards them. Because they always condemn others. They always like to not to pay attention. They don't have empathy towards others. The lacking empathy and the unable to understand the other feelings and needs and wants, they can't understand it, but the other people can see it. So this kind of personality, this kind of thoughts, if we have, that's a kind of, in these days, we say it is a disorder. Because usually the childhood, during the childhood period, as a little child, we have that. We have that. But when we grow after puberty, usually that doesn't appear. That usually go away. But some people have. But usually the psychologist says a kind of egoistic mind we need. But as a mindful practitioner, how can we overcome this egoistic view? How can we overcome this self-esteem view? That is a good question we need to ask from ourselves. Because that, you know, when we think like, you know, I am the best mom, or I am the best dad, or I am, I have a good family, and, you know, we need to have that kind of thoughts. But when we observe our thoughts mindfully, we can realize how and why these thoughts are coming. It's actually this root is in with the ego. So if we can be mindful and if we can trap, if we can identify those thoughts and look at the deep into that thoughts, and if we can find the egoistic mind in there, then we can sometimes, not most of the time, but sometimes we can ignore or we can overcome those thoughts. So narcissism, that's how, I think that's how it apply to us. For example, I can say like this. If we know our abilities and physical side, for example, if we are a beautiful person, a handsome one, or a beautiful lady, then we have physical, we know that about physical side. And if we know that abilities we having, you know, some, for example, as I said, I am a good writer, or I am a good medical surgeon, or I am a best scientist, or in sometimes we can say I am a good meditator. Maybe we have that feeling. So all those are abilities and physical side we see. With that understand about ourselves, the physical side and the abilities, we grow unknowingly our ego, the conceit. Instead of that, if we can understand, if we know our emotional side, so we need to be mindful about for that. If we are mindful enough to see our emotional side, how we feel and how I think, that can apply to other people. So this is how I feel when something happened. This is how I think towards other people. So the other people might think in the same way. We can think how I feel, and we can adapt those feelings or those knowledge into other people. So because of that, knowing the feelings inside me or how I feel or how I generate thoughts. With the, we have kind of ego still, but with that ego, if we can understand, if we can identify those feelings and those thoughts, we have that ability to dilute or reduce, or otherwise control or decrease self-concept or self-esteem. So when we have less self-esteem, less self-concept, it is easy to deal with other people, and it is easy to behave in society. If we have a lot of egoistic mind, then it's so hard. Sometimes we say that those people are selfish. But this narcissism is more than selfishness. So it is selfishness is the initiative period or initiative stage of narcissism. But when people are more selfish, more and more selfish, and they don't have, when they have no empathy towards other people, that means narcissism. So how we can, if we have to face with those people, or if I can see myself as an egoistic person, I'm not saying the narcissist person, but if I have developed, if I can find I am kind of person, then the best thing is to be mindful. Because while being mindful, we can observe our thoughts, we can observe our feelings. After we can have some kind of mindfulness practice, after long time practice, we can observe and we can identify it. So when we identify, when we are having that kind of mindfulness practice with our life, so that emotional, knowing of emotional side, become a good meditator or maybe good mindful practitioner, then I should say like this. We have our Bhante also, the Dhammajiva Loku Swaminansa. He always says we develop kind of autistic signs. So when I say that, the egoistic person, the narcissistic person has the self-image, inflated self-image. And they don't have kind of empathy towards others, and they don't want to be with others. But the same thing happens when we develop our mindfulness as well. So when we are mindful, we like to be alone. We are like to in a quiet place. We are, most of the time we give up external desires, external works, extra, you know, like going to trip, going for parties. We avoid those things also. And sometimes the mindfulness practitioner look like a depressed one. Because they don't want to talk much, and they are quiet, and they introverted. So do they have that kind of narcissistic feelings or narcissistic qualities? That's a question actually. But the mindfulness person know who he is doing. So he knows his feelings and he knows his thoughts. So that is the difference, narcissistic person and the mindful person. The mindful person look like the egoistic person, look like a narcissistic person. But inside him, inside that person, he is mindful. So being mindful, he want to be mindful. So that is like a circle. So he looking for some kind of environment to be mindful. So that's why he is introverted, and that's why he avoid other people. That's why he like to be alone. So these are two different type. But I just wanted to show you guys, the narcissistic approach or the narcissistic person is a person who has that inflated self-image. But the mindful person behave like that, but not with the self-image, not with the inflated self-image, not with the huge self-esteem, but he wanted to have a quiet place, quiet time to be mindful. So sometimes they do things again and then they sit, they walk. Mindful walk and mindful sit. Again, after mindful sitting, they do mindful walking. So that's kind of rotating things they do. It's kind of autistic science also. And the other thing is the mindfulness people, mindful person has the ability to have that empathy towards others. But narcissistic person doesn't have that. Because that narcissistic person completely ignore the other outside, outside himself. So he think that person, I am the one, I am the only person. So everyone else, he use. Well, for example, like if we want to have a cup drink, we need to have a cup. So we, after having that water or juice or tea, cup of tea, we don't want to have that cup again. The narcissistic person is like that. They use people for their purpose or for their needy, to cover their needy. But a mindfulness person is not like that. That person use, sometimes the mindful person like to use the other people for his practice, or when he is having that kind of advanced practice, so he like to teach others. That is not like a narcissist person, that is kind of empathy towards others. So show you that the narcissistic person and the mindful person has sometimes different qualities. It looks like same qualities also, sometimes different, sometimes same. So it looks like same, although it looks like same inside the mindful person, it is not same. So if you are not mindful, so I want to point out two things. If you are not mindful, we can grow egoistic mind or self-esteem because of physical appearance or abilities, we have some kind of ego. I am so and so. So I have these abilities. I can do this. So I am the best. Or I have a good family. Any kind of inflated self-image we have. Actually we have. Everyone has that. We can't deny we don't have. Because until we are become fully enlightened, we have that kind of ego or self-esteem. So we have that, but we can control that egoistic mind, that egoistic thoughts, we can control, or we can observe them and get rid of them while being mindful. If you are not mindful, you grow those egoistic concept or egoistic mindset or egoistic thoughts more and more. Because it is the world. Because world is like that. World, the people, when they go into have a social gatherings, they talk about their things in a positive way. It is good. But we need to understand every time we talk about myself in a positive way, it is look like positive way. But every time when we say something, we need to look at mindfully how this thought come. Where this thought come from? Is it from an ego? Or is it from my self-esteem to broadcast, or self-esteem to show off, or otherwise, is there any need of saying that in that concept? So if we are not aware of that, if we are not aware of what I am saying, especially about when we are saying about myself or about my family, if we are not aware of the purpose behind that, so we can't identify that whether it is egoistic or not. So if it is egoistic, if we can find it, then the next time we can avoid it. So if we can try to find this by doing mindfulness practice, by doing mindfulness practice with the bodily movement or with the bodily awareness as well as emotional side. So both are myself. So emotional side as well as body is, we say, myself. So the body have that abilities and physical side of the body is very attractive or not attractive. That both side is making ego or having frustration. So if you are mindful and if you are observing your body like a body, it's just a movement. So that this body is having for a purpose to do some other works or live this world. What kind of thing I can do? So likewise, if we can see the body as body and the mind as mind and emotions as emotions without giving any, how do you call it, magnitude for those egoistic mind or egoistic thoughts, or any gravity, heaviness for those thoughts, then we can avoid or we can get rid of those thoughts. So that getting rid of thoughts, of egoistic thoughts, is a very good practice actually, and it can't be doing it. It can't actually, it can, but mostly we need to be mindful to identify those feelings and identify those thoughts and become awareness of those thoughts and become awareness of others' thoughts and others' feelings, making a good practitioner. So that practitioner will always having that problem solving skills and critical thinking skills, although they want to be alone and they want to have no attention from others or other people, and they want to practice again more and more, but still they have that kind of empathy towards other people and other animals and the living beings and plants and everything. Environmental friendly person became an environmentally friendly person because of that egoistic childhood or egoistic thoughts are getting reduced or getting controlled or getting decreased more and more. So that to maintain that kind of mindhood and that kind of mindset, we need to practice. So when we are practicing walking or sitting or day-to-day activities, when we are mindful, we can understand this body, and maybe it is a very beautiful one, maybe it is a very handsome one, but it has a purpose. So when you understand that while being mindful, so you don't feel like egoistic feeling towards your body or towards your active abilities. So to get rid of that, you need to be mindful. By while being mindful, only you can understand this body is for here for a purpose, not to have an ego develop, not to develop our ego with the with whatever the body we have or whatever the feelings we have, whatever the abilities we have. So while understanding that, we can get rid or we can dilute or we can reduce that egoistic thinking. So for that, first of all, we need to be mindful about the body feelings, about the how we our body act or react. Then we can understand and then we can spread that attention or spread that mindfulness into thoughts and feelings. So while we are doing this, we can understand others also. That means if we have some kind of egoistic mind, we will not show it. So we can control or we can observe it and control. I can't say control, but when we observe it, we will not do that kind of reactions or actions for other people with the egoistic mind. So saying that, I will conclude my talk. I'm not sure what I said is you will grasp or not. Sorry about that. It is a new, very new topic, narcissistic. But next week, I think Bhante will explain more about this narcissism and the mindfulness, I hope. Thank you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Venerable Manu. And it was very, very good explanation. And if someone wants to understand further, they can refer the recording, which will be posted in the Nisaranaya website. Next, I would like to invite Sonali to conduct the Q&A session with Venerable Manu's guidance. And I will share the screen for the text for the beginner's introduction.
Thank you, Namantha. So before we go to the reports and questions, we will start with the beginner's guide, the introduction to meditation. There are two videos that Nisaranamaniya has produced for us to help with our meditation if there are any newcomers to meditation or if you want to have a little refresher. There's one about mindful walking. There's one about mindful sitting. Once you watch the videos, you can start practicing with any amount of time and build it up to, we recommend, an hour for each kind of meditation. And then add something during your week and tell us how you were mindful doing a routine task. Once you have done all the practice, it would be helpful if you can write us a report. We will then present this report to Bhante or Manu and get their feedback and give you some guidance. The way you can write the report is via the Google form or email beginnersnv@gmail.com. The details will be on the chat section in a little bit. So you can use these to ask us any questions as well. Now I will move on to the reports today. We have received three reports today, two via email and one via the Google form. I will start with the first one received via email. Mindfulness in the week. There were some peak difficult events that emerged last week. On the one hand, it felt difficult because it happened one after another, with little time in between for reflection. On the other hand, it was difficult because some of the beliefs were challenged. People who broke trust and others who wouldn't stay within the agreed boundaries. Noted signs of immunity reducing in the body with this stress, such as intermittent headaches lasting 2 days, lethargy, muscle tension, irritability, and the fear-based thinking proliferating in the mind. Then, almost out of nowhere, the presence of mind arose. The experiential knowledge that these too shall pass became clear in the mind. Instead of continuing to proliferate stories, the connection between thoughts and related feelings were noted. Some thoughts brought up anxiety, some brought up disappointment, still others brought up judgment. In a formal sitting meditation, the attention went almost immediately to the prominent sensations of headache, peaks of pressure noted in the forehead, followed by easing of what pressure, then that pressure. Then the pressure would peak again in a close by area and released afterwards. Sat watching these sensations moving from point to point for about half an hour. At the end of that session, the muscle tension in the body had reduced and there was a calmness in the mind, although the sensation of headache was still there. Now changed to a dull, throbbing sensation in the background. By the end of the week, there was a different take on the person who broke trust. Realized that habits can be hard to break. Perhaps they can benefit from compassion instead of judgment. Ultimately, this too shall pass. I genuinely wish the person well in my mind and chose to move away gradually from their association. Not out of fear, but in order to have less unhealthy distractions. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and all the organizers. That's the end of report, Venerable Rohini.
Yeah, interesting one. So the thoughts are forerunner of everything. When we have good thoughts or good beliefs, especially if you are mindful, whether it is good or bad, doesn't matter. So, for example, in this report, it says the bodily he or she started mindfulness practice with the bodily sensation mainly focused on the headache. And then bodily sensation everywhere she or he look at. And then the calmness is appeared. So that's bodily sensation. Maybe it is the bad pain. So maybe she observed everywhere. Maybe it's not normal. Maybe it is normal feelings. But the headache was there. She ultimately, it was still there. But it's calmed down. So in that sentence, 2-3 sentences explain how our mind become a forerunner of everything. So when we are mindful from place to place, wherever you aware, wherever you feel. So when you are going from one place to the other, one place to the other, you have no concentration on any other one feelings or any bad feeling. So you move from one to other, one to the other. Whether it is good or bad, maybe headache was not good, but other feelings may be mild or usual feelings. But when you move your mind from one place to the other and it's go around, that mindfulness is there and your mind is forerunner, you are not focusing on your headache. So if you focus on headache again and again and again, when you will get that different kind of experience, because maybe that the aversion arise when you have that headache, when you look at it again and again, the aversion will arise. That make headache maybe it will increase. Maybe it will develop until up to you can't tolerate. Now in this report, it says, went calm. The mind went calm, although the headache is there. Still, it says the headache is there still. So that means when you are mindful, your mind is going one to the other, one to the other, not anything focused forcefully or not anything focused, forcefully. If I say. The other thing is, in this report, in the beginning, it says, difficulties he or she faced while in some other places. So because of the beliefs or because of they are not behaving in a accepted manner, or you know, there were a lot of issues explaining in this report. So every time when we are, whenever we have to face something different, we expected something different than we expect, then our mind is always get aversion, and that aversion is making your thoughts accordingly. Because every thought you every thought come feed up with that aversion. So that leads, okay, you feel, you see all the things are going, not going good way. The people are not behaving and the things are not well done, and the, I am not well and I have that pain and this pain, and because all the things start with the aversion. Aversion begin with that belief, what I believe is not happening there. So every time when we have some kind of unexpected things happen, when unexpected things happen in our life, we always react on them. We always like to change that. But when we are mindful, we can realize that even my mind, even I myself can't change. I have to accept that. So while I was accepting that, while I was observing that, while I was understanding that, then I can realize we can't change other people. We can't change other things. Actually, we can't change nothing. So we need to only accept whatever come into ourselves. I mean, whatever we need to face, we need to accept it. So best version of myself should be there, not best version of others. So if we are going to do that, we need to have that thinking pattern, or sensitiveness should be there to look, not to look for fault in other people. Not to look for perfection among other people within the society. Even not to look for perfection within me, because nobody can do that. So if you expect perfection within me, that means there's a frustration. Because you can't do that, that means there's a frustration. The frustration means you have that aversion or the bad feelings, and bad thoughts come with that. Bad thoughts deal, most of the time when we have that kind of thoughts, negative thoughts, we have that aches and pains in bodily pains. That thoughts represent that bodily pains. If you can find that replacement of that negative thoughts with the positive one, you will find those bodily pain is easily manageable or easily tolerate, or sometimes they are disappear. So need to find mindfulness practice spread when you are in society, when you are in other places. And first thing and the last thing I would like to tell this person, don't expect goodness or perfection from other people or yourself. And try to be a best version, to try to show your best version of yourself. Not expecting others' best version. So best version of myself, not the best version of others. Best kind of not the perfection, but acceptable way. Maybe we can behave, or maybe we can think in an acceptable way, like according to our topic. So not like, you know, egoistic way, like empathetic way. So empathetic towards myself and empathetic towards others. So when we can see every problem arise with myself or arise within me, when you see that, you can easily change that. Now you always see that every problem arise because of other people or because of other, they are not behaving well, because they are not accepting my whatever I believe. So all the negative feelings comes with outside people, outside place, outside outsiders. So he made this report ended up like that. I want to, is that Sonali? The last sentence or two, it says, I will avoid something, right? I think
but in order to have less unhealthy distractions, that they are genuinely wishing the person well and avoiding contact with them.
Yeah. But my thought is, if you are practicing more and more mindfulness, then you will realize that not the other people, it's myself. So if you are mindful, it is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. You need to try again and again. Not to see the perfection from other world, not to see the perfection of other people, and even not to see perfection from myself. So I think that will help the person to be with other people and be having a healthy life with other people.
Yes, Manu. Thank you for that guidance. I will move on to the next one because we have two more to go. Next report is has all three forms of meditation and mindfulness as well. Walking meditation. Stood observing pressure and weight of body on both feet equally and standing posture. Walk, watching left, right, and then lifting, moving, and placing. Warmer at one end of room, colder area in the other. Uneven areas on floor noted. The intention to place heel, midfoot, then toes noted. And each part making contact with ground and gaps between each movement noted. During the lifting of foot, the loss of contact between floor and foot observed and gap between the lift of heel, midfoot, toes also seen. Walked for 30 minutes. Sounds, thoughts came and went, but not too distracting. Then sitting meditation. Noted sitting posture and noting parts of body that were in contact with cushion, clothes, hand touching other hand, noted. Noted tense areas of muscle of face, relax them. Noted eyelids closed, lips touching each other, hair on neck. Mind went to breath naturally. Observed in and out breaths, shorter in breaths, gaps between in and out breaths observed. Noted sounds, thoughts, not too distracting. A calm feeling observed, mind blank at times, then thought arose again, mind going to breath, not allowing thoughts to proliferate, but at times short proliferation happened, sat for 1 hour, finding it more difficult to do formal sitting meditation in the last 2 weeks. Daily mindfulness. As waking up in the morning, mind now noted parts of body touching bed, position of legs, arms, head, body lying down, mind noting discomfort in tummy, breath, closed eyes, hair on neck, face, mind goes to breath, thoughts and sounds. Heard a bird just outside the window and noted how fast the thoughts proliferated. Type of bird, window is open, how it could fly into the room, be scared, make a mess. Noted the heart beating faster, anxiety arising, got up to shut the window. Recently, a bird did come in and down the chimney. With much merit and gratitude to Vanthi and the organizers. That's the end of report, Manuel.
Can I ask you a question, Sonali? This is children in this program?
There are some children, but this doesn't seem, I don't think this is a child's report.
Okay, okay. Good report, actually. Yeah, I was my focus was half an hour walking and the 1 hour sitting. It said so. And in the end of the sitting session, it says it's hard. Is that what I understand? Is it true?
Yes, it said it. They find it more difficult to do formal sitting in the last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks, okay. Not normally. So maybe there's no any reason for that. Sometimes we feel, sometimes we have, we're having good meditation session or good mindful session, but sometimes we can't. It's not for the beginner only, for advanced practitioner also face those kind of difficulties. It is not every time you sit, every time you are walking, it will not having a good result. That's why we should not expect any outcome while we are sitting or while we are walking or while we are observing the day-to-day activities mindfulness. So if we expect something, that is usually Bhante used to say, I mean Bhante Kusala Swaminasa, he used to say in our 16 plus program. So when a practitioner goes to a teacher and said, okay, I see all the time monkeys. Then the teacher said, okay, see the monkeys. Then when he went back and when he tried to see monkeys, no, not any monkeys he can see. I mean, while he closed his eyes. So then he complained. He went back and he said, okay, I can't see any monkeys. Then he said, don't see monkeys. Then again, when he closed eyes, he can't see monkeys. So if we are expecting something, it will not ever happen. So when you are going to sit or do mindful walking, don't expect anything. Just walk. Just observe how your body walk. So if you can observe just like, you know, the sensation, when you contact the surface, how you feel, it explained actually nicely in this report. That's the best thing. So if you want to face, move, and the keeping leg, I mean, three steps, if you want to observe, it's okay, but it doesn't need actually. If you can observe the bodily feelings or the surface, how you feel surface, that's more than enough. That means you are very mindful. Your focus is there. So that is more than enough according to my knowledge. So if you can keep up like that, you don't need to divide into three phases or five phases. So one thing, the other thing is the 1 hour sitting is good actually. So sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you don't feel that. Sometimes you are lethargic. Sometimes no energy. Sometimes no right effort there. But the mindful walk encourage you to sit long hours, long period of sitting. So if you can increase the half an hour mindfulness walk to 45 minutes and 45 minutes sitting, that would be nice actually. And the other thing is day-to-day activities. That's good observation actually. So if you feel that fear and if you feel that so that's a good observation. And at the same time, you can do some other kind of mindfulness practice as well, like, you know, brushing teeth, yes, eating and having cup of tea and all sort of thing while you are alone. So even I used to say, even when you are having that mindfulness day-to-day activities, when you are having cup of tea, just I don't know whether that report from Sri Lanka or another country, but if another country, maybe it is not easy. But in Sri Lanka, you can sit somewhere in the corner of a garden and you can listen to the sounds. The bird chirping and the squirrels are, and the wind move the trees, branches and leaves. And, you know, those sounds, listening to sounds is also a good thing, because more usually at home or at workplace, when we are not a good listener, when we are not a good listener, we face a lot of difficulties, lot of troubles, because when the other person is saying something, in the beginning of the sentence we hear, and the end we don't hear, and we add up our own thinking, our own thinking. So the only half of the sentence we listen, and only half of the sentence we understand. The rest is our thought. So if we can practice mindful listening at home or in the garden or wherever, that's a good thing actually. So yeah, my advice is, please increase the walking time for 45 minutes, and if you have only 45 minutes for sitting, that's all right. So, and then don't expect anything from meditation.
Thank you, Manu. Not expecting too much is good advice for myself as well. Thank you. I will move on to the last one. Mindful living. This week, I faced heavy criticism from my head over how I dealt with an incident in the classroom. Luckily, I had taken a mindful walk down the school corridor before the head came into the classroom, so mindful energy was there when he was talking. I was able to note stress building up in the shoulder area and strong burst of heat generating. While listening attentively to the criticism, mind was calm, felt his energy vibrations strongly, managed to give a good, calm response. He smiled, gave a stern warning, and went. A few years ago, I would have cried when an incident like this happened at work, but instead, I got on with the work and managed the class well. Was happy with the progress, Bhante. However, in general, when there is a strong emotion, the mindful energy is not always powerful enough to calm it down. So not yet ready to give up the formal practice of walking and sitting, Bhante. Still a long way to go for that, I feel. Much merit. May you all have a well and peaceful week. End of report, Manu.
We all need to thank Bhante for guiding you all. Yeah, so, but one thing I want to say for that report is, you know, even Buddha, after having Buddhahood, he did practice formal meditation. He did practice Anapanasati. He did walking meditation. So we are not someone to give up or stop formal meditation and only doing the mindfully look emotions or thoughts or mindful day-to-day activities. That's not good enough. So we need to have that formal practice every day, actually. If we can put more effort on that for the formal practice, then you will find more and more easy or more and more practical when you face some difficulties. Like here, when she explained that she was mindful and that criticism she took very easily and respond very easily. So that kind of practice come with the formal practice. So I need to have formal practice every day if you can, whatever the time. And if you can't, for example, you used to do everyday practice and today I can't do for some reason. So at least Bhante Dhammajeeva Lokaswaminase always says, If you do an 8 o'clock mindfulness sitting, so if you can't do today that mindfulness sitting because of some reason, just sit for 5 minutes. He always asks that. Just sit for 5 minutes. Don't give up whole mindfulness practice on that day. At least 5 minutes, do that. So that mindset then become more familiar with the formal practice. That is very helpful for formal practice. So whenever you can't do, at least 5 minutes. So everyday formal practice is the best. If you can't, at least 5 minutes. So don't give up and don't stop formal practice, even though Arahat also do the same. So please don't stop or don't give up or don't think that that's good enough. No, practice more and more.
Thank you, Manio. That is the end of all the reports that we have received. We can allow some time for questions, if anyone have questions. Could you please raise your Zoom hand or ask the question on the chat, and I will read it out to Manio. It doesn't look like anyone has any questions today. We will then move on. So we will move on. Namantha, would you like to take on and maybe end the session?
Yes, thank you so much. And much better to you. And also much better to Venerable Manu for conducting a session, a long session today as well. Now we would like to share merits and wrap up the session for today. I would like to thank and pass on merits to Venerable Rohini Manu for taking the time and effort to participate in today's event, in today's session. And we share these merits with Manu and hope Manu's own practice will benefit the power of these merits. We would also like to associate same merits to Venerable Bante Homagundam Kusultero, who has been conducting this series of sessions. And we can see his insightful advice working through the reports provided to us in today's session. And also, I would like to share merits with the Chief Pante, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bante Udayiregma Dhammajiva Mahatheru, and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on his own journey in mindfulness. Furthermore, there is a wonderful set of people who are organizers in this endeavor. I would like to associate these merits with these organizers who work hard behind the scenes, and wish these merits will have a very positive impact on their mindfulness practices and they flourish in their own ways. And I'm most thankful for all of you who are joining the Zoom session, and wish these merits to be shared with you as well. And you are providing us a reason to continue this program in this manner with the support from Nisarana Forest Monastery. So thank you for participating in these sessions throughout, and I wish that your own practices will flourish with the power of these accumulated merits in learning mindfulness. Now, the program will be held next week as well. It will be the same time, and I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, and that you will be able to practice and improve further in this journey. We will see you next week. Until then, have a nice and mindful week ahead. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now.